One. We have covered verses up through verse 22, some of them multiple times. And this is our fifth or sixth message in Romans now. I want to point your attention to verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We're talking about the lost world who not only is lost, but in the face of the witnesses of creation and conscience, knowing that there is a God, but not wanting to believe, push themselves away from God, and try to become too educated for God. And according to verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And now some new information, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do those things the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our title tonight is The Only Sin. The only sin. According to America around us today, what I'm about to say is very much politically incorrect. And we're naming sin tonight. Romans 1 names a lot of sins, doesn't it? A whole lot. But according to our world around us, there's only one sin. And here it is. The only sin today is that you call sin, sin. That's what the world recognizes as a sin, is if you are willing to call sin, sin. And if you do call sin, sin, you are labeled as intolerant and bigoted. Now, according to our world today, a man may be sick, but he's not sinful. He may be weak, but he's not wicked. He may be ill, but not evil. And even if he were to tell people that what they are doing is wrong, they would say that they have some excuse. It's their environment, or it's their genetics, it's ignorance, or something else. Nobody wants to be blamed or take personal responsibility. Well, if we back up just a little bit, we need to be reminded of what verse 18 told us. We've studied it already, but verse 18 tells us something about the wrath of God and the judgment of God. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth." They know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. So the wrath of God is revealed here in verse 18. Now, all the world likes to talk about is the love of God. Have you noticed that? Let's talk about how God is love all the time and no wrath. And God is love, by the way. Infinite love, boundless love, measureless love. God possesses so many different qualities of love, and greater than that, the Bible says that God is love. God is love. But this God of love is also a God of wrath. And when you love righteousness, as God does, by nature, when you love righteousness, you hate sin. The doctor who loves health hates some things, doesn't he? He hates microbes. He hates germs. He hates germs very much. And that's part of what makes him a loving doctor, is hating these things that are evil. When you love children, you hate some things, don't you? Like child abuse. You love children, you hate child abuse, right? If you love children, you hate SpongeBob. There's things that you hate because you love children. You grow to hate some things, okay? So, you see, you cannot have a God of love without also having a God of wrath. And if you just take the God of love, you only have half the story, and I do not serve a half-baked God. I serve a complete God, and He who is the Savior is also the Judge. And the God of love is a God of wrath. It depends on what side of Him that you're on. I want to be on His good side. Don't you want to get on His good side? The Bible teaches if we're not under the love of God, that's the umbrella of His love and protection, then we're outside that, we're under His wrath. Not a pleasant place to be. So, God is love, but when you take half of a truth, only half of who He is, leave out the wrath, if you just take half of a truth and try to make half the truth all the truth, then even the half that you made it becomes an untruth, becomes a lie. Because you're not even talking about the same God anymore. You've distorted it. It's not balanced. So verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed. That's God's burning anger against sin. And let's keep going, reminding ourselves of what we've studied. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How did He show it unto them again? How has God revealed Himself to man? Creation and conscience. Okay, God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. There's one thing that God will not accept for sin, and that's an excuse, an alibi. He will accept a confession. I'm thankful for that. And He will forgive, but no excuses. Man is inexcusable in his sin. So let me share with you tonight three steps to sin in our text. There's three different steps in the progression of sin. Let's put it that way, okay? And again, we're talking about the only sin tonight according to the world. The only sin is to call sin, sin. Well, let's talk about what sin truly is. Step number one is man's willful self-determination. This is how it starts. Step one is man's willful self-determination. We find that in verse 21. We have not read this yet tonight. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Zero in on that phrase, they became vain in their imaginations. They want to get rid of the very thought of God, so they become vain in their imaginations. This is man's willful self-determination. Step two in the progression of sin, after man decides that he wants to forget about God and pretend that there's not a God, step two is next, and that's man's wicked self-deception. man's wicked self-deception. I point you to the end of verse 18, which we just read, where it says that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. They're deceiving themselves. And then, look at verse 22, it goes further. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What does man do here? He blinds himself. He deceives himself. He has willful self-determination, and then next he has wicked self-deception, holding the truth in unrighteousness, deceiving even himself. A lot of these people feel like they are convinced themselves, but that's why they have to keep repeating themselves, is because they have to keep reminding themselves of what they are choosing to believe. Step number three, and this is what we will talk about tonight. After man's willful self-determination leads to man's wicked self-deception, here's what we find in our text tonight. Step number three takes place, man's woeful self-destruction. Self-destruction. This is sad. This is sad tonight, folks. Self-determination leads to self-deception, leads to self-destruction, and the rest of this chapter tells about man's self-destruction. Have you ever known someone who just imploded, who just went down a path of self-destruction until they were dead? Have you seen that before? Have you not been watching Charlie Sheen on the TV at all lately? Oh, you have seen self-destruction then. Okay. And we've seen it many times, right? What is self-destruction? Well, let's break this down a little bit. From our text tonight, it comes in several stages. First of all, people who turn from God almost always become sexually perverted. Sexually perverted. Almost always. People who turn from God and go down the path of self-deception, pushing away God, and self-destruction are tied to sexual perversion. We just read verses 26 and 27, which begin, verse 26 says, for this cause. Well, let's stop right there. For what cause? Back up to verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, verse 26 says, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, what's affection? That's love, right? Or some kind of demonstration. In this case, a physical demonstration. God gave them up to vile or evil, you can spell from vile, affections. What's he talking about here with vile affections? Verse 27. Or verse 26 in the middle says, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. How do we describe against nature? What's that? Okay, that's what this is talking about here. Against nature, we could be understood fairly simply, without going into a whole lesson tonight on the birds and the bees, that boys and girls are different, right? Okay, that's the natural. And this talks about going against nature, verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, right here at this juncture, before anyone has the chance, listening out there over the airwaves, to try to link me or Grace Baptist Church to the awful things being done supposedly in the name of God under the guise of a so-called Baptist church called Westboro. Stop right there. I condemn that, don't you? What the Westboro, anything but a Baptist, anything but a church does. That's awful. That's awful stuff. And not reflecting. And they use the same passage, by the way, to try to make their points, the points you see on their signs that they hold up and you hear in the awful things that they chant and the terrible things that they do, which was upheld, was it today or yesterday, by the Supreme Court as being covered under free speech, that they could still do that. I'd like to distance ourselves from that. It's very much, very different from what the Bible teaches. And yet, what the devil would like for us as believers to do is distance ourselves so far from that that we no longer tell the truth about this subject, that we no longer talk about what it indeed does mean, because of trying to distance ourselves from what it does not mean. So how do we do this? How do we proceed without letting them affect our teaching? Any ideas out there? Let's just look at what God says, and let's just preach the truth right from it, not with our spin or interpretation, just with the plain sense of biblical truth. Let's let God speak for Himself here. So it says by the end of verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God loves homosexuals. God can save homosexuals, has and will continue to save homosexuals. God hates the sin of homosexuality. Am I just speaking tonight, or does the Bible back me up on what I just said? If it's hate speech, then God's as guilty as me. Okay? So punish him too. If you're going to throw me in jail, you got to try to round him up also. Now, God is obviously talking about here the sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality, lesbianism, moral perversion. Notice how God calls this sin. Actually, he begins up in verse 24. God calls it uncleanness. God calls it lust. God calls it dishonor in verse 24. In verse 26, he calls it vile affections. In verse 26, he said it is against nature. In verse 27, he says it is unseemly. Over in the Old Testament, Leviticus 18:22, God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, the strongest Bible word for sin. And yet, I am amazed. Every time I read the writings of those who want to practice this perversion or defend this perversion, they do some incredible mental gymnastics and fancy footwork trying to explain away the plain meaning of God's Word. Like God's got some vocabulary problem they've got to fix and show what He really meant and how these verses don't really mean what them preachers out there are saying that it means. But when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense. That's a law of hermeneutics or Bible study. As a matter of fact, the explosion that we see today around us of sexual perversion, it's one of the major signs, the Bible says, of the end times, of the last days, sexual perversion, that we're ripe for judgment. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 17 that the last days would be like the days of Noah or like the days of Lot. That's Luke 17:26 through 30. Let me just read that to you. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Then again, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So as it was in the days of Noah, is the way that it was in the days of Lot. And in both cases, guess what happened? The sky began to fall. It was God's judgment from above. And our God is consistent, is He not? We are asking for the sky to fall again. Call me Chicken Little if you like. But the Bible says you can expect the sky to start falling, America, for the way that you are making decisions. It's always a special privilege and just a wonder of all wonders when we just go through the Scriptures verse by verse, but in a timely manner, God applies things through His Word to just what's going on. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. Was it yesterday that the Supreme Court made that decision about the Westboro thing, or today? I heard of it today. I don't know if the ruling was even today. But listen, this message was chosen long before the ruling came out. And God said this long before the message was chosen. But He says it to America today. And so we must preach it. As it was in the days of Lot. Lot, you remember, lived in the society that had glorified sodomy, sexual perversion. And God destroyed ancient Sodom with fire and brimstone. 2 Peter 2:6 says, He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that should after live ungodly. An example to who? Someone who's going to live after them and who's going to embrace the same things and call evil good and call good evil. How are they calling good evil? They're saying that the only sin is calling sin, sin. I'm calling sin, sin. Don't you think that's a good thing? They say it's evil. They call good evil. They call evil good. This sin that we're talking about tonight. So, God left Sodom in smoking ruins as an example to someone who would come after them. And we, I believe, live in that nation. The only thing we learn from history, folks, is that we don't learn from history. Mankind won't learn from history. God does these things not really thinking that we are going to learn, but giving us fair warning and letting His justice prevail and let it be known that it was fair, there was fair warning, and that it's our sin nature that chooses to go in the wrong direction. Well, some say, no, Brother Jerry, this is not like America. America's different. Sodom was a bunch of perverts in a wild society, an animal-like society. They lived like wild beasts. Okay? Ezekiel 16:48 says, Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance, idleness in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy and they that were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Actually sounds like a description of America and says that it's talking about Sodom. God said that they were full of bread. They were full of idleness. That there was prosperity in the land. That they were proud and haughty. They strutted. They were proud of their sin. Does sound like America, does it not? Sin that used to slink down the back alleys now struts down the main streets with pride in the United States. Now, I will get letters because of this message calling me a bigot, but listen, if it's in the Bible, they can take their argument up with God. I take no pleasure in saying these things. I take no pleasure in getting hate mail either, but I'm honor-bound to preach God's Word. And verse by verse, we're doing it. A nation that cannot distinguish about moral perversion is a nation that's on its last leg, and we seem to be living in that nation. Listen to Isaiah 3, 8 and 9. It says, Jerusalem is ruined, Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. Now listen, they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Did you hear that? They declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not. Those that used to be in the closet are now in the president's cabinet. I mean, it's not only out there, it's set up as totally fine. Then the verse continues and says, woe unto their soul, for they have awarded evil unto themselves. So God says this is what ruined His people. And I submit to you it'll be the ruin of America as surely as there is a God in heaven. It will be. Our God is consistent. So sexual perversion is one of the things that that happens. Let's not forget our main point here. What we were talking about is how man goes into self-destruction, willful self-destruction, and almost always is linked with sexual perversion. Okay? So we've just talked about homosexuality. I've just committed the only sin in America. I've just called sin, sin. You see? So, I'm not going to ask God to forgive me of that sin. Because it's America that says it's a sin, not God. So let's talk about another sexual sin, and that is pornography. Pornography is flooding America, more available than ever. What happens to that pornography? Well, sadly, it eventually finds itself in the hands of children. That's bad. Even if it didn't, what it's doing to men and women in America is destroying us from the inside out. Vile, wicked, lascivious stuff. Now, I feel like I can tell you this. A few years ago, I was out jogging through my neighborhood, not far from my house, getting some exercise, and I saw a magazine on the ground beside the sidewalk that I was getting ready to turn onto under a bush. And it was pretty obvious as it was laying open what kind of magazine it was and what the content of the magazine was. And it was as filthy as it gets. And so after a few hours of studying it, no, I'm just kidding, making sure it was what I thought it was. I pick up trash when I see it, usually, you know. If I'm out, see something, I just pick it up, throw it away somewhere. This, I didn't know if I wanted to pick this up. And I wondered if I should. But I don't want someone else seeing it. So I did pick it up. I wadded it up as tight as I could and stuck it into my pocket of these little shorts that I was wearing. Try not to imagine. And so it's sticking out a decent bit, but it's gonna hold in there. My heart was already racing because of running, but now I'm at rest, and my heart rate is actually increasing as I'm thinking, if I have a heart attack out here, they're going to find this in my pocket before I ever make it to the trash can with this. It just reminded me, too, of the fact of how old-school printed pornography is in our society today. You know? It used to be the main thing of what pornography is something in print. And you've got to be bold enough to go into that bookstore or 7-Eleven or whatever and have to embarrassingly ask the clerk to get you that one that's hidden back there. Don't ask me how I know how to do these things, but You know what I'm talking about? That's the way that it used to be. And look how available pornography is now, completely in private, to anyone with an internet connection of any age. It's really, really sad. We use pornography internet filters, you know, as a church, as a family, we do that. I hope that you do that. And these filters have to download updates every night from the server. Why? Because the pornography sites, in order to not be caught, move their sites around all the time, change their URLs, their web addresses, constantly. And there's literally millions of them just floating around, and some claim to chase them and try to remove them, but they can't ever keep up. They can't do it. It's all because of the internet. Well, Lord help us with the way this sexual perversion is going. And I remind you tonight that it is a perversion of a beautiful thing. A perversion of a beautiful thing. Do you think God is against sex? God's in favor of sex. I'm in favor of sex. I don't mind admitting to you. It's a beautiful thing. You're here because of it. And so are your kids, right? No other immaculate conceptions. Don't try to act that holy. God made man a sexual creature. God made Adam and Eve. And when he gave Eve to Adam, he said that it was very good. And it's very good. And when God says, flee fornication, when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, when God says, thou shalt not lie with man as with woman, he's not trying to keep us from sex. He's trying to keep sex for us. He's trying to keep it right in the way that he created it, the beautiful thing that he made for us. It's God's wonderful gift, but the devil is a pervert. He has no raw materials of his own. All the devil can do is counterfeit God's good things and turn them for evil. He has no raw materials of his own. He can only take that which is from God and pervert it. For instance, God invented music. Study Jubal in Genesis. God invented music. The devil comes along and perverts music. And the devil has his own music. Anything that can be used for good, the devil can use for evil, you know? So the internet is invented, not by God, but by Al Gore, as you've heard. And the devil perverts that tool, a tool which can be used for good. We prove it every day as a church. It can be used so much for evil, as we've just talked about, with pornography and so many other things. And God invented the beautiful thing called sex, and the devil has perverted it. So, they became sexually perverted in our text, and we could go on and on about sexual perversion, but these are just two things the Lord's laid on my heart to share tonight. And from our text specifically, both are there. You saw the homosexuality there? Do you see pornography in our text too? They became vain in their imaginations. Verse 25, they worshiped the creature more than the Creator. They were worshiping the creation rather than the one who created that. Okay, so let's move from this topic. They became sexually perverted, and then, according to our text, the next thing is they became socially perverted. Socially perverted. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What's a reprobate mind? It's a decadent mind. He says, you want to go that direction? Here you go. Don't we have a reprobate-minded society today? Reprobates. God gave them over to that reprobate mind. And the next few verses go on to describe it in detail, the reprobate mind. Continuing on, things which are not convenient, verse 28 ends. 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, there's a blanket term right there, specifically fornication, which is any sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Look at this phrase, inventors of evil things. Does that not describe our society today? Let's invent something else, some other perversion. I mean, you got to take it further, one more step further. And right in this list is disobedient to parents. Amazing. That wickedness listed right there. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, that's what this whole passage has been about, unnatural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Okay. Man, when he turns his back on God, becomes not only sexually perverted, but he becomes socially perverted. This is a laundry list here of social perversions. The world becomes a madhouse. And we come to live in self-made cells and lock ourselves in at night while the hoodlums roam up and down the streets. And our wives and daughters are afraid to go out at night and walk anywhere. We have the kind of mayhem that we have today. Hey, the things that you see going on in the streets of Libya, of Egypt, some other Middle Eastern countries that's spreading to Europe, they're talking about it may spread to America. Listen, it's already in America. It's already in the hearts. It's not about what nationality, what race you are. It's not about what dictator that you're under. It's about what's inside the heart of man, and it's coming out. The worst of man shows itself in hard times. Hard times appear to be coming to America. If you think the looting and rioting that went on in New Orleans was bad when just a little water came up into town, wait till you see what happens when you can no longer readily get food or afford your gas or worse things that appear to be on the horizon for America. Man becomes socially perverted. And after that, after sexual perversion, after social perversion, there's spiritual perversion. Look at verse 32. Verse 32, and we're about done here. Whew, deep breath, huh? This is heavy stuff, is it not? You can go home and say, I really enjoyed church tonight. It was just a blast. I was so uplifted and encouraged and blessed. Well, be careful. The truth will bless you whether it's negative or positive. Verse 32, who... talking about all these sinners who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only continue to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. You know what we've done in America today? We've begun to entertain ourselves. Here's what I mean. How do we entertain ourselves? We entertain ourselves with sin. Sitcoms about drunkenness and perversion, about immorality and adultery, movies about these topics. The devil has a pipeline right into our homes. And not only is America doing these things, we have pleasure in them that do them. That is, we're entertained by seeing other people do them. We make them the most admired people in America. We honor them with the Oscars and other award shows. Now quote me tonight if you like to, okay? Because this is original to me. And I haven't said it here at Grace in years and years. But it needs to be said right now, okay? Watching people sin is sin. Christians need to be reminded of this fact. Well, I'm not doing it. Yes, you are. Watching people sin is sin. I thought maybe I'd get one amen out of that. Because that is the truth. Amen means it's true. This is true. Watching people sin is sin. Listening to people sin is sin. Taking pleasure in them that do them is written right here in verse 32. They not only do these things, or maybe they don't do these things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Look, we're in this filthy passage of Scripture talking about the worst reprobates in the world, and what has happened here at the end? God's gone and applied it to us here in this room. And it does apply as we allow it into our homes. I am grieved to my heart when I read a Christian, especially one in this church, talk about, saw this movie last night, it was great, and I go read about the movie and the stuff that's contained in it, and I'm just blown away that not only did the person watch it, but didn't even have the self-respect to keep their sin to themselves. They don't think it's sin. They talk about it almost braggadociously, which then recommends it to other people who may want to check it out for themselves. That's sad. That's really sad. Now, I'm not saying just sin and keep it to yourself, but Lord, it's better than seeming like you're bragging about it, you know? I hear people talk about something that's got nudity or sex scenes in it, and that bothers me for obvious reasons. I see something with a good action scene of violence that Hollywood actually rates as being worse than a sex scene, you know. Dig it, okay? Violence, yeah. Action, okay? The world has no clue what real sin is. You know what I'm saying? Or no thought about it. They take pleasure in them that do them. That's the way God said it, and that's the best way to put it. Some people then say, well, no, we avoid all the nudity. We just watch shows that say every cuss word you can think of, including taking our Lord's name in vain, and F this and that, and S this, and A this, and son of a B, and all these things. And I say, how can you subject the Holy Spirit in your heart to hearing these things? And then, on top of that, tell others about it. Recommend it to others. Best solution is to unplug it, rip it out of the wall if you can't control it. I like the TV Guardian for watching some things that only have language because it removes that. But some people say, well, why in the world would you go to that expense and go to that trouble when your kids are going to learn it somewhere anyway? I know they're going to learn it. They've already learned it, but they didn't learn it from me. And they didn't learn it under my roof, which looks like my stamp of approval saying it's all right. They learned it, and they learned that it's wrong. They believe that it's wrong, and I didn't even have to tell them it was wrong. I told them it was wrong by not allowing it into my home. Because listening to or watching people sin is sin. And yes, everybody is doing it, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God tonight wants to challenge some to say, no, not us anymore. No. Not only am I not going to do these things, verse 32, I'm not going to have any pleasure in them that do them. And I'm no longer going to be one of those Christians that when it happens and I hear that word that goes, thinking that that was me taking my stand. No, taking your stand is not hearing it in the first place. Taking the steps to not hear it. Not just recognizing that was wrong. And then continuing on. Are we preaching tonight or meddling? Both? Probably so. All right, let's wrap this up here, okay? You can probably tell I'm brokenhearted for America. I believe that God's people need to get on our faces before Almighty God in prayer. Three times in this chapter, it uses this phrase, God gave them up. God gave them up. One time it says, God gave them over. Do you know the very worst thing that God could do to America? The very worst thing is just leave us alone. Just give us up. Give us over. For him to just say, all right, you've got it. Take your vices, Take your lust, take your evolution, take your abortion, take all these things that you choose and want, and you got it. So long. See ya. I hope that doesn't happen to America. God gave them up. God gave them over. It's time for us to seek the Lord, because Romans 1 is being replayed for us today in our own nation. Willful self-determination is leading to wicked self-deception, woeful self-destruction. Now, that's the bad news, and the bad news is what makes the good news possible. You can't have good news without bad news, right? And the gospel good news is possible. It's what Romans is all about. It's the reason that as long as God has a heart thumping in my chest, as long as He allows my voice to continue to work, I want to be a gospel preacher. I want to be able to tell it clearly and plainly that if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So blessing today at noon to meet with a man in my office. We've prayed for this man before. We've prayed for his wife. You know Terry Jennings in the church? She's here Sunday. Miss Terry has this sister, alcoholic, that she has mentioned right here for prayer. And we've been praying for her. And this man came in to talk to me about getting advice on how to better help her with her alcoholism. And we tried to help with that. But not assuming anything, we asked him about his soul. And he believed that he was going to heaven. And why? Because he is a good person. And he specifically mentioned, our A-teamers will be interested, he brought it up. He said, I keep the Ten Commandments. And so we talked about that. He said, have you ever told a lie? He said, well, yeah. I said, what does that make you? He said, a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Yeah. What does that make you? A thief. Have you ever lusted on a woman? Jesus said that's adultery. Hated someone? Jesus said that's murder. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? He said, yes. Blasphemer. He said, if God judges you by the standard that you're saying that He does, will you go to heaven or hell? He said, hell. It was a privilege to show him from the book of Romans how to be saved, and he was saved today. Amen. And as long as we have a voice, we should want to use it and share the truth of the gospel, the good news. Bad news is mounting around us, but that's what makes the good news good. The world is growing darker and darker, but that makes our light shine brighter and brighter in the middle of that dark room. So, we have committed tonight what America calls the only sin. We've called sin, sin. But the good news is we can share the remedy. And listen, if the worst does happen in America, if God is consistent with us as He was with Sodom, as He was in the days of Noah, and if He would spare our lives, I want for us to be ones that are okay and helping others get saved, you know? I want to be one who's able to pull drowning people to the shore. I want to not be in survival mode myself, just trying to make it with my own. That would be my top priority if that's all I could do, but I want to have that in order, and I want to be pulling people to shore. That's why we prepare. We prepare our souls, we prepare our houses. That's why we're working on preparing our witness, because the fields are all white around us, white unto harvest. But listen, someday God may really get America's attention when those fields begin to burn. And we hold the hope. We need to have our house in order. We need to be ready to win masses to Him. And here's some good practice. It's by winning one to Him. Got yours? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, once again, it's just a powerful blessing to experience the truth of Your Word, the mighty nature of Your truth just goes through every fiber of our being. And Lord, I pray that you would make our witness heard by many around the world, and may it start with the one, the person that you lead us to go and reach out to. We want to pray for America. As we go into our prayer time, Lord, we want to pray for one another and for all the needs of the hour. As we approach the end, perhaps our trust is in you. We thank you for your salvation. I thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross to save us, that it's not by being a good person. We've broken your commandments. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you have taken our punishment for us on that cross. You paid the price for our sins so we wouldn't have to in hell. And so we can trust in you as Jim did today. We want to pray for him. We want to pray for Kathy, his wife, that she would be the next to be saved. And for their extended family that Jim already wants to reach. Lord, we pray for many others like them that you want to reach in our area and around the world through our witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.